This episode of Zero to Travel is brought to you by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder with 7 drive modes. The Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
We will win. We will fight the good fight. Sometimes we can't see the end, but we will rise.
Do you believe that one day your name will make a change? That someone in some way will be better because you came? Do you know that when you leave, you're not fully gone? For when you live a life of purpose, your legacy lives on.
Some inspiring words from the spoken word poet, Just a Vessel, otherwise known as Stephanie James. She is our guest for the interview segment of this show today. The conversation is packed with golden nuggets, so get your pickaxes ready, my friends. We talk about why words matter, how to manage your internal dialogue, and the importance of not being so hard on yourself, how to make a living from your art while you're traveling, nomad life versus the settled 9-to-5 life. She gives some practical tips on how to meet locals and so much more. On top of that, I'm going to share a little PSA for you lovely travelers out there, a little friendly reminder that I think is important for you to hear. Just a little friendly reminder for you. All of that's happening in today's show and so much more. It's always so much more, right? And it's happening now. So buckle up. Maybe you haven't been on a plane for a while. Maybe you missed the sound of that metal clasp going into the buckle. You know that sound I'm talking about on the plane. Oh, you know you're taking off, you're going somewhere. We're going to take you somewhere today, at least mentally. So buckle up, strap in. Thanks for being here, and welcome to the Zero to Travel podcast, my friend.
You're listening to the Zero to Travel podcast, where we explore exciting travel-based work, lifestyle, and business opportunities, helping you to achieve your wildest travel dreams. And now your host, world wanderer and travel junkie, Jason Moore.
Hey there, it's Jason with ZeroToTravel.com. Welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out, letting me bring a little travel into your ears today. This is the show to help you travel the world on your terms to fill your life with as much travel as you desire, no matter what your situation or experience. I am so excited to bring you today's show. When Stephanie first reached out, I started checking out some of her poetry. I was, just kind of blown away. I mean, spoken word poetry is such a cool art form, isn't it? I mean, I used to be way into hip hop back in the day when I was growing up. The first time I heard it, I just remember being drawn in right away. I don't know if it was just the sort of the cadence and the energy and the wordplay. I don't know. The peek into a culture that I was not a part of, that I wanted to learn about. I guess I've always had a curiosity for learning about different cultures around the world. You can do that through music. You can do that through spoken word poetry. You can do that through travel. There are a lot of ways to explore the world, right? And explore ourselves. And you know, we get into a wonderful conversation today about art, about creativity, about travel. Of course, Stephanie's been to a lot of countries living as a digital nomad for some years now. We talk about slow travel. We talk about digging into the local scene and just a whole bunch of other stuff. So it is, it's just great. I can't wait to share it with you. Before we get into that, a couple things. You know, I'm going to come with a shout out to one of you lovely souls in the Zero to Travel listening community, and a little PSA for you, just a friendly little reminder you might need to hear. Maybe you need to hear it today, or maybe not. I don't know, but I'm going to share it anyway. That's all going to happen after the interview. Now, let's get into the interview. I don't want to delay any further, but stick around afterwards because I'll share this little PSA for you. I'll share a shout out to somebody in this community. We'll share a little more poetry from Just a Vessel, and I'll leave you with a quote. It's a bunch of stuff going on in the back end. Stick around for that and enjoy our chat. I will see you on the other side, my friend. I'm talking to Stephanie James, also known as Just a Vessel. She is a poet, vocalist, and speaker, and a digital nomad. You can find her work at justavesselpoetry.com, and you have some other cool projects that we'll talk about. Yeah, I got the email from you and then checked out some of your poetry, and I'm always kind of blown away by like what you do. It seems so difficult, the way you present your poetry. I mean, imagine like all of the writing that goes into it, and then, you know, the presentation of it, and like just remembering it and getting sort of the flow of it down and figuring out which words to emphasize and stuff like that. Like, poetry is not a lot I know about. I mean, what drew you to poetry? Do you remember like the first time you got sort of inspired by it?
Yeah, for sure. I was actually working at the bank. So it was my first internship at the bank, and we couldn't do anything really. Like, so it was like pretty slow, not a lot of customers come in. And when it's slow, you couldn't read, you can't really sit down, so you're standing all day. I was a teller. And so I just picked up a pen one day, and I was like, oh, you know, I can't read, I can't sit down, I'm bored, there's no customers coming in, and just like, I'm like wasting my time, and that's not a good thing for me. So I was like, what can I do? So I just started writing, and I read it to my sister, and she's like, that's not bad, actually, you know. And then she's like, your delivery was actually really fun as well. I'm originally from Colorado. So that was in Colorado Springs, where I'm from. And then when I moved to the DMV area, they call it the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, DMV, I got into the spoken word scene, where there's an art of like, there's poets that write poetry, and then there's spoken word artists that are actually reading the poetry and bringing it to life and delivering it in a way that can be received more powerful. So I always tell people, like, you can definitely like read my poetry, but to hear it is going to be a different experience. And so I've really gotten into that even this year as well. Like with COVID, I've done, you know, an event for PepsiCo, for Frito-Lay, for Chegg, like for different business organizations that wanted poetry. And it's all been virtual, which is cool that I can still use my gifts and talents in a virtual space, right? As all of us are having to do this year, I've been fortunate enough to continue the work, continue sharing my gift on the virtual platforms.
So you mean that you've been working as, I don't know, like a consultant, or you've been coming in to do workshops with these companies?
Nope. So not workshops, but they'll hire me to do a poem. So like they had a Martin Luther King event for Black History Month. I did a poem called Legacy, title for that. I opened for Common. He's like a famous rapper for those who know. And then for PepsiCo, they have a group, an employee resource group for people with disabilities. So they said the theme is You Belong Here, and asked me to write a poem about them, like people like belonging where they are and where they fit into that space. So I did a poem, wrote a poem specifically for the You Belong Here theme. And it was very well received, very, very well received. So it's really cool to be able, like I said, to still write and to still share my gift, even on a virtual platform, keeping everybody safe, but also still doing what I love. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, be able to earn a living from your art, that's something I want to talk about in a bit too, because that's not a feat that everybody can pull off, right? Even if you're talented as you are, but it's great that you're able to like also, you know, earn a living, some of your living from that as well. You know, it was interesting that you said sort of boredom led to this whole thing, because I had interviewed somebody once who's a known musician here in Norway where I'm based. And he said, I asked him where creativity comes from for him. And he said, boredom. It was something along those lines. Right. And I was like, it was just I thought it was such an interesting answer, because it's just not something I've thought about. And then now you're recanting your story, and it was kind of a similar thing. Like, I feel like some of those opportunities are missed in this day and age because people don't give themselves enough time to be bored. There's too much going on with the smartphone, right?
True. Yeah, you're always just into your phone. And then you're taken away a lot, right? Like, it's so distracting. Like, when I'm writing a poem, I have to put the phone away. Or if I'm using it to write, to type in it, that's fine, right? But, like, most of the time, I prefer to actually write so I can go back and, like, cross out and, you know, old school pen and paper.
Yeah.
right? But you're right, like, we don't give ourselves enough time to be bored, or we allow people to tell us to take us away from wherever we are, right? And it's weird to me. Like, one thing I have been trying to work on is being more present, because I feel that we're not often, right? Like, you're hanging with your sister and your mom, and you're like texting your loved one, or your spouse rather, right? Like, maybe you're hanging out with your family in a different space, and you're texting your spouse, which is fine, like, you have children, or you're texting your best friend from college, like, while you're supposed to be hanging with your mom and your sister. And then when you're with your best friend from college, you're texting your mom and your sister. And it's like, wait, why don't we like enjoy the people that we're with, like, and be present when we're there? And it's not to say never to text anyone else when you're with somebody different, but just being mindful of the time that you're spending and when you're present with somebody physically, especially now and nowadays, because you can't be present with that many people in the same time. So
it sounds like a good theme for a future poem.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, does travel get you present in that way?
Oh my goodness, yes. I mean, I guess it does both, right? Because you miss your family. Like, you definitely miss the people that you love. You miss home. And you do reach out to them. But I found that a couple of things is just enjoying the space that you're in when you're there. So, like, climbing to the top of Mount Batur, right? For example, in Bali, was amazing. It was a 6-hour climb. You start at 2 a.m. You get to the top about 8 a.m. or so to catch the sunrise. It's an amazing venture. But it's so tiring. Like, it's, once you get to the top, it's actually steeper at the top. So if you, like, you have to have some determination to, like, pull in when you're really, really tired to do the hardest portion of the volcano. And I'm saying that to say that you can't be anywhere else except there, right? It is so taxing, and it requires so much of your attention and, like, strength that you literally cannot go anywhere else mentally, except just thinking about getting to the top of that volcano. So I think there was so many times, like, in my travels where you have to be present, right? You're watching this professional tango couple in Buenos Aires. You're climbing to the top of Cotopaxi in Ecuador. Like, there's so many things that really pull your all out of you that it does require your undivided attention. And when you get to the top, when at the end of that tango show, like, all of these things, you're just that much more thankful that you took the time to unplug and be there and really witness and experience that. And I got to a point, because I do have travel vlogs where I shared a lot of my experiences, a lot of them, ideally for me, right? And I was, like, documenting my time, but then sharing it with everyone else. But there, as I went through different countries, I realized to, you know, capture a little moment of this, and then put the GoPro away, put the phone away after you've captured, like, where you are, what you're doing, having a good time. As I think you can also get caught up in trying to record so much of it that you miss it as well. Or you're watching the experience through your phone or your GoPro or your camera and not really experiencing it for yourself.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a really important, I've talked about this a lot on the show, just like, yeah, like being aware of it or being conscious of it, right? Like almost setting up some rules for yourself. If you know part of your job is going to be like, all right, I want to capture some of this for my vlog. Okay. But does that mean, you know, what does that mean to you? And how much do you want it to interfere with the travel experience? Because there's no doubt it's going to interfere, right? Or, I mean, you could say also in some ways, depending on what you're doing, it could add to it in the sense that, like, certainly with certain projects, I think people might be more open to talking to you if you were, say, going to interview like a local and it was for like a vlog or something like that, then it's like almost like a formal way to kind of get to know people on the ground. Like, you're like, hey, I got this thing, you know, come chat with me. Like, I have this podcast here. You wouldn't have reached out if I didn't have this podcast. I wouldn't be lucky to have this conversation with you. So, like, out of these projects can also come connections, I think. But especially when you're traveling, it is key to be present. I mean, otherwise,
why? Like, why go? Right. Why leave from home if you want everything to just be how it is when you're home? And that's what I tell people all the time too. Like, it's not weird. It's different. You know, there's somewhere else and it's not how you're used to. It's like, oh, that's weird. It's like, no, it's not weird. It's just, they just do it a different way than we do. And when you can grasp that, you've accomplished a big thing. Because then you can go anywhere and acclimate to that location, and feel at home, right? You can literally make your home anywhere once you have come to that realization that, you know, it's not weird, it's different, and it's okay, right? That they do it differently than what you do. That's a big aha for a traveler to get.
Yeah, do you find yourself, I just had a thought as you were kind of saying that, because you were reframing it essentially with one word. It's like, it's not weird, it's different. And I'm thinking about your poetry and what you do as an artist, and, you know, you work with words, right? I mean, that's what you do. So is that a common practice for you, something as a way to using language to sort of reframe things or the way you think? And if so, how do you do that?
Absolutely. Yeah, that is, as an admissions manager at a tech company, as a poet, as a sister, as a coach, as everything, yes. Like words, yes, 100%. Reframing words to tell a different story. Because I believe that, like, if you change, you can change the narrative, right? You can change the narrative. You can say, today was an awful day. Or you can say, today was really tested my patience and I learned so much today, right? And those two things hold such different power in the way that you tell your story. So I'm really big on, yes, changing words and using words to uplift. I do think there's a lot of strength and power in the tongue and how you, what you say and what you're saying to yourself. And I think we underestimate how powerful what we say to ourselves is. If you think about it, you're talking to yourself all day.
Yeah.
Right. You hear a lot of things.
For better or worse, right?
Yeah. And you're on your smartphone and you're having all these distractions. But at the end of the day, during the day, more than we realize, we're having thoughts and we're listening to ourselves so much. And so you have to, I always tell my friends, like, be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with the things that you're telling yourself, or they'll say something crazy about themselves. And I'm like, hey, you're talking about my friend, right? But they're talking about themselves. And I just think it's a good reminder to know that, like, yeah, words are very powerful. And I do find myself, to answer your question, like framing words in such a way that tell a story that I want to hear or that I want to read or that I, you know, want others to know about themselves, for sure.
Yeah. What, if any, challenges have you had in terms of, like, it's one thing to kind of hole up and say you're, you know, you're at the bank counter as a teller and you're writing these poems and, you know, maybe they're just for you, or maybe you share them with your sister or somebody close or whatever. But it's another thing to, like, then go out and stand on stage and share it with a group of people or put yourself out there as an artist. And since we're talking about sort of self-talk and reframing things and things like that, is that something you've always been comfortable with, or did you have to work on your own self-talk and like kind of work through it in order to like get to a point where you were comfortable with putting yourself out there as a quote unquote artist?
Yeah, kind of a combination. So like I used to beatbox and I used to sing as a youngster. I still sing as well and beatbox. But I was on stages early, is what I'm saying. So that was normal to me to be on stage, to share my gift. My mom was the mom that was like, hey, I've got friends over, sing something really quick, let them hear you do that. You know, so I was always like being put on the spot. So I wasn't shy. Like I've never been a shy person. But I will say in the poetry space, like spoken word was new for me. In 2013 is when I really started like getting into the spoken word space. And it's important to find your own voice. Because sometimes you like go to a place and like all poets sound the same. They all have like the same style or cadence that they use. So I think it's very important to find your own voice. And the beautiful thing about poetry and just artistry in general, in my opinion, is that no one can tell you that it's wrong. No one can say like, oh, that line shouldn't have been in there, or you didn't do that, or you can't. You're not going to walk into an art gallery and tell the artist that they should have did the brushstroke this way versus that way. And that's what I love about it, is that maybe it's weird, not weird, but different. Maybe it is, you know, what, not what you're used to, but it's yours. And no one can say like, it's not right. And so I do love that. And most of the time in poetry spaces, there's an environment created of respect, and like respecting the mic and respecting what people do and their art and how they do it. And I really love the atmosphere that's created in those spaces for freedom. And even if you don't like it, right, like you respect it you respect that somebody else wrote that, and that's their artistry and that's their truth and what they wanted to share. And I think it's a beautiful environment. So yeah, I don't think I was ever really shy, but in the spoken word realm, just wanted, you know, being confident about your own voice is really, really important, and not trying to like sound like anybody else. And because you can go to open mic. Everyone is amazing, right? Like everyone that touches the mic was like from Deaf Poetry Jam, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, these people are amazing. And it can cause like, either it's going to do two things. It's going to make you elevate and know that you also belong there, or it's going to make you kind of cower and say, gosh, these people are really great. I don't think I should share my own.
Yeah, that's me. I'm in that category.
But then once you do share, the cool thing is that somebody needed to hear what you said. Like, yes, maybe the four or five other people that went before you were phenomenal, and there's no denying their gift and their art, but so are you. And putting yourself in that category, and once again, not talking about it, like being gentle with yourself to know that, wow, your gift is different and unique, and somebody needed to hear what you said. You might have been somebody's favorite poet that evening. Although in your opinion, you were last on the list or, you know, whatever, like you were somebody's favorite poet. And the cool thing about poetry too is that you can ask 10 different people in the audience what they liked most about your poem, and they probably will all have a different line or something different that you said that they liked. And it's people listen with ears of where they are, right? You know, they say like you can only see through your own lens. I feel like this is same with your hearing. So it's like you're gonna, with being a father and being in relationship or being single, you're gonna pull different parts of a poem. There, different things are gonna speak to you in different ways, just given like who you are and where you are in life. And so I love that about poetry as well. Like one line might hit one other person, whereas this line did something else, or this line made somebody else cry because they're dealing with a death and you're talking about you know, loss. So I love that about it, that it just can touch different people in different ways. That's my favorite part about it. It never gets old. I love it. I love it.
This episode of Zero to Travel is presented by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. From muddy jungle paths and snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has the capability to take you to some of the most epic destinations on Earth. We're excited to partner with Nissan because our listeners know we love to celebrate the joy of exploring the world and finding the best off-the-beaten-path destinations to visit. And there's no better vehicle for that than the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. With 7 drive modes, the Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys, and it even has the best towing capacity in its class, up to 6,000 pounds, so you can bring the fun with you. But Nissan also knows that it's not just about where you go. In a Pathfinder, the real fun comes from getting there, and that's something we love celebrating here on the Zero to Travel podcast. We believe that life is about finding that joy within the journey itself, and that's why we're thrilled to partner with Nissan to celebrate adventurers everywhere. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode of Zero to Travel and for the reminder to chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures and enjoy the ride along the way. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And I mean, with music too, right? That's like, I mean, I have certain songs where they just mean something different to me now at this stage in my life than they meant, you know, same song. Right? Same song 15 years later just means something different. It's so powerful. I think it's a great, what you said is a great reminder of, you know, just taking the pressure off yourself and remembering that, hey, whatever you share is going to impact other people in some way. So, you know, maybe it's not about you as much as you think, right? And that way, I always like that reminder always kind of allows me to put things out there and be more confident, not necessarily in every single thing I produce, but just that, hey, well, you know what? I might think this of this, but it doesn't matter because somebody out there is going to get value from this in a certain way. And you can't predict those things, right?
No.
No. It's just not possible. You've used the word gift quite a few times. And you mentioned your gift, and I'm just wondering like what your thoughts are around that. Yeah, do you think it's something that's born, that you're born with, or do you think that you can discover sort of gifts along the journey of life? I mean, like, if you're talking to somebody that's listening and they're like, oh, like, yeah, well, I can listen to Stephanie's poetry and she has this gift. I can hear that. What's my gift? I don't know what my gift is. How do I find my gift? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the gift is like where your passion meets your purpose. That's kind of, to me, the mix of it. And I mean, gifts are given, right? They're not like, you don't have to earn them. You don't like have to. There's an element, like, to me, they're given, and not to say that they're effortless or that you don't have to do any work to hone your skills and your craft and your gift, but it's that thing that you would do for free. It's that thing that wakes you up in the morning earlier just so that you can share it, or it's that thing that you'll go the extra mile to tell somebody about and you're really proud of, whatever that looks like to me, right, is your gift. And I do believe that, like, you know, faith without works is dead, those type of things. So it's like you have to also very, very much work at it. Even if you're really good at it, to be great at it, you still have to work at it. Regardless, if you're a singer, that's great, but you need to, like, still hone your craft, do vocal lessons, like, you know, get in the studio, make some new content. Like, you still have to do a lot of work around it. But it's when your passion meets your purpose. So if you're it doesn't feel like work. Oftentimes when you love what you're doing, it doesn't feel like work. I know there's that quote where he's like, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. Like, that's to me where your gift is, somewhere in that space of like, I really enjoy this. I would do this for free. It would be awesome if I could get paid for this, right? You have gamers that get paid thousands of dollars on YouTube to, like, let people watch them play video games.
Yeah. And I'm like, which I still don't understand.
That's brilliant, though. It's crazy to me, too, because I'm not a gamer, but it's just like, I applaud the individual who has made a career out of playing video games, and because that's what they love to do. So that's like figuring out what I love to do, what I would do for free, and then how do I get paid to do what I would do for free.
I love that none of that definition involved how talented you are at it. Because then I think if you start using that as a measuring stick, then you start getting into the external validation. You start getting into the comparison trap. And that is like one of the biggest things that prevents art from being created and put out to the world, I think. You start, you know, somebody gets in their own head and they start saying they're not good enough and then comparing themselves to everybody. It's death to art.
It is. But I think the talent comes from the work.
Yeah. Right?
And that's why I started with that. Like, I wasn't, like, my first poem is nowhere near as great. It's still good, right? I think, unbiasedly. But nowhere near as good as the last poem that I just wrote, right? And so, one, it takes time to evolve and to grow into your space. And if you listen to the Jackson 5 versus Michael Jackson, those are different people, right? You're evolving as an artist, you're evolving as you grow and as you have different life experiences, your lyrics change, your voice changes, your delivery changes. So the talent to me comes from the work. They say when you put 10,000 hours into something, then you can call yourself an expert in it. So it's like, yes, do the work and then the talent will come. Almost. It's almost reversed to what people think. Like, oh, well, you can sing, so that's why you're successful. It's like, no, I worked really hard at honing this craft in order to be successful with this piece of myself. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I find a lot of joy in the idea of working on a craft, right? Like treating it as a craft and getting to work on that every day. What, like every time I sit down to do a podcast is a real world example, right? It's like, the craft is the interview, right? And it's like, how is this going to go? You don't know. And each time it can go up or down, or at least in your own head, you know, again, we can't control what people think of things, but there is joy for me in the present moment, no matter where I'm at with my skill level compared to maybe some of the best in the world or whatever. Forget the comparison thing, just the joy of like getting to sit down and work on the craft is one of the best parts of life, I think.
I love that. So it's definitely worth it to do. Like you said, that's something that you would do for free. That's your passion. And it's awesome. I'm glad that you're living in that space, because a lot of people know what they would want to do, but don't take the leap of faith to step out and really do that. They're like, oh yeah, if I could do anything in the world, I would, you know, I don't know, cook. I would have my own restaurant or something. And you're like, oh great. Like, you know, are you cooking? You're like, no, I eat out most days. And like, you know, not really like owning or pouring into themselves as much as they're pouring into other things that are distracting them from their true self.
Yeah. Okay. So do you hear us, listener? If you're somebody out there that's like been putting off this thing because you're like, oh, I'm not good enough at it, or I tried picking up the guitar before and it sounded like crap, just enjoy the craft of learning it and getting better, right? Get out there and do it today.
I love that. I think too, I would say enjoy the process, right? Is I think exactly. So many people are so concerned about the destination. To your point, for your same example, like I just wanted to play guitar and I'm not good at it and it's hard and it's callousing my fingertips and it's just this. And it's like, if you enjoy every step of the way, like, okay, you want to get to Italy one day, right? But in the meantime, go to Little Italy in your city and learn how to make pasta, like homemade pasta, and like really embrace different elements that are going to lead you to ultimately one day going to Italy and sitting in Florence and Tuscany and like having this amazing meal, right, that you've been waiting for and preparing yourself for. And I just think I think it's important to believe in yourself, believe in the dreams that you have for yourself, and know that they're tangible, but along the way, enjoying the process and the journey along the way. And it's funny that we're on that topic too, because like as I was traveling in 2017, I went to 18 countries. And in the beginning, I knew like, so it was like 12 countries in 12 months was the thing. And we went to some other ones in between. So that's where it came to 18. But I lived in each country for a month at a time. So 1 month went a different country, every month a new country. And it was interesting because
that was intentional. You're like, I'm going to live in a country every month.
Mm-hmm. And okay. I was actually with a group. So that allowed, we traveled together. So it was like 4 months in South America, 4 months in Europe, 4 months in Southeast Asia. And what we all talked about during the trip was not looking ahead as much, right? So you can be in Chile knowing that you're going to Uruguay next month and miss Chile, like miss the Valparaiso and Santiago, and like miss where you are because you're so focused on where you're going next that you're not enjoying where you are presently. And so I would use that in life as well. Like enjoy where you are right now. I always tell people you are exactly where you need to be, right? I don't like being late, but when I am late, I'm not like in a panic mode. I'm like, there were some people that were late to the World Trade Center that morning on purpose. They were exactly where they needed to be. And so I always kind of hold that truth that you are exactly where you need to be when you need to be there. And I think it's the, once again, coming back to just being present in that space. Like, yes, okay, we're looking forward to Uruguay and Argentina and Italy and Prague and Budapest and all these amazing places. But right now we're in Chile and I'm going to enjoy Chile and, you know, their cuisine and their culture and their food and their food, cuisine, language, religion, like just getting to know where I am is important.
Yeah. Do you think there's a power in adopting a label? For example, maybe you're somebody that's never traveled anywhere yet, but you have, you know, plans to travel and you just start calling yourself a digital nomad. You're like, I'm a digital nomad now. Or you're like, I'm a poet. Right? Mm-hmm. Like you maybe wrote one poem or zero or five and you're right at the beginning, but you just take the label and you just own it. Is that like tricking yourself, or is there some kind of power in that, do you think?
I think that there's power in truth because your mind really knows. Like if you write one poem and you're like, I am a poet. That is what I do. I'm a spoken word artist. I am the best in the world. Like, I think there is some strength and power in affirmations, but I also think that there's strength and power in honesty as well. So in your mind knows, like, if you're not a professional snowmobiler or whatever you want to do, your mind knows that, right? I think there's a sweet spot in saying what you want until you see what you said, in the sense of saying potentially like, oh, I'm an aspiring poet. Like I've started writing poetry and I'm an aspiring spoken word artist. But I do think that you should give credit to yourself where credit's due. And I don't think many of us do that, right? So I've spoken in over 30 countries. I've performed in over 30 countries that I've been in. That makes me an international artist. Now, was it on the same stage as Beyonce? Or was I in the O2 in London? No, was not, right? And so I think that sometimes we say, oh, since I wasn't on this big stage, I haven't arrived yet. But if you performed internationally, you're an international artist. Right. So I think that there's beauty in like being honest with yourself, but also affirming what you have done and really digging into like, who am I? What are the things that I have accomplished that I don't give myself credit for? That's really, really important to like give credit where credit's due, even and especially for ourselves. We're our worst.
Yes. Credit. Hard to give ourselves credit mm-hmm. sometimes. I mean, I think it's also, yeah, in a way, it's kind of giving yourself permission to be that thing or to work on that craft, mm-hmm. right? And I think that can be a pretty powerful thing as well that can keep the momentum going. We have touched on travel a bit, but we should mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about travel, of course. Okay. So yeah, you grew up in Colorado Springs. Did you grow mm-hmm. up traveling? That's a military town, right?
So I was actually born in Germany. My dad was in the army. Okay. But then we shortly thereafter moved to Colorado Springs, which is a military town. So he was stationed there. But then he got out of the army. So like not at all. Like I lived in Colorado Springs from 1 to 18. And we didn't travel a lot. I played basketball in high school. And so I did some traveling around the states for basketball tournaments, like AAU tournaments, summer camps, things like that. I've always really enjoyed traveling and like seeing different places. So that was kind of the start. And then it wasn't until I went to college, I went to Hampton University, played basketball there. And at the end of my senior year, my professor was like, you know, there's this internship going on with NBC Universal for the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing. It's like, whoa. He's like, the deadline is already passed. I was like, thanks for nothing. And he's like, but you should write the owner. I've sent her your transcripts. Like I had straight A's in college. And he said, send her your transcripts. You just need a writer and ask if they're willing to like extend this deadline for you. And I was like, ooh, okay. So I wrote the letter. She reached out to me and said, hey, can you fly to Rockefeller, New York? Like Rockefeller Plaza in New York tomorrow. And I was like, oh, definitely a college student, don't have the funds, and it's just for an interview. I don't even know that I'm going to get this. You're just asking me to do it. And the college student, like, that's a big ask, right?
Plus, yeah, you're like, I don't know if I have enough money to get ramen noodles right, exactly. right now. Maybe I can throw an egg in there if I'm lucky.
Exactly. So it was a big ask, but I also felt like sometimes you have to take that a big risk in order to get a bigger reward. So I was like, I'm going to just have faith and try it. And so I flew up there, did the interview, flew back. Same day, like right after the interview, I got back to the airport and flew back and made it in time back for basketball practice. Nonetheless, I got it. I got the internship. And that was like the biggest eye opener for me to go to Beijing, right? And I know you're well traveled as well. Have you been to Beijing?
I have not.
Okay. But you've been to Southeast Asia. You've been to Asia. Right.
Yes.
Okay. And so to come from the States or even like Europe, any like westernized country and go to China is just, it just wiser. I mean, everything's different, right? The architecture, the people,
mind blown.
The food, the culture. I mean, it was a lot. It was like so much to take in for my first trip, but that really sparked the travel bug in me, right? And I was like, man, this is amazing. I want to see more of the world. That's really not like me. And then I started working Fortune 50 company, was there for 8 years and still had this travel desire. Like I went to Italy, I went to Greece. And then like 2016, it became this like insatiable, like I want to go. I don't want to come to office every day. I want to go. I want to travel. I want to see the world. And I think now is the time. before I like have kids and have a spouse and have commitments that are going to keep me stable. And I say that, but I know that many people do also have kids and have spouses and they still travel. And I champion that, right? But in that time and space, I was like, I'm single. So like, let me just go now, because I think now is a good time. And I did, right? I got into that group and it was 12 countries in 12 months. And I never stopped after that. Like I lived in London for a year and a half. And I met someone in Bali and like moved to London. And like, we didn't work out. We're still friends and stuff like that. But I did live in London for about a year and a half and then started again, like Portugal, Spain, Amsterdam, Barcelona, Colombia, Mexico City, and just like loving it. And I kind of kept that same like a month or two. Okay, in the next country, a month or two, just because it's a good amount of time to like really get to know people and a culture. It's not enough time to do everything, but it's a good amount of time to get a good feel of a country and location. If you're on the move, like if you're making moves and really getting out, making the most of every weekend and every evening and things like that. So,
yeah. Wow. So 8 years in the company, were you... like, not that you regret it or anything, but, you know, that time, it sounds like after the Beijing experience, I'm not sure when things started building up where you were like, oh man, I can't do this forever. I need to get out and travel. Was it like, you know, partway through, were you still like, 'cause a lot of times I see either sometimes the switch just flips for somebody and then they're just like out of there. And other times it's like a multi-year period to kind of get their head around what that means and, you know, still kind of going to the job and just sort of doing it, but not like really wanting to be there wholeheartedly. And what was that process like for you?
Yeah. So I actually really enjoyed my time. Like I really enjoyed my time there. I always had global aspirations on my performance review. So like anytime we're talking, I was like, you know, what's going on in this company is like worldwide. So it's like any global opportunities and international opportunities definitely open to do those. So I was always in that mind frame, always knew that I would be open to going international. I just didn't know how or like what that would look like. So maybe about 4 years in, like I went to Greece. And I just, oh my gosh, it's still one of my favorite countries. Like out of the 38 that I've been to, Greece is just phenomenal. And then another like 2 years went by, I went to Italy. I was like, oh my gosh, Italy's amazing. And went to like to Jamaica and the Bahamas, you know, some of those. But I just wanted to make it my lifestyle. And I was determined to do that, like however that mm-hmm. came about, right? And so I took a leap because when I left, I think a lot of people stay because it's secure, right? It was a great company. Yeah. I was paid.
It's always
well.
Easier to stay with the known and instead of going for the unknown, right?
Right. And you don't know what's behind that door of uncertainty. But I did, I actually, and I don't recommend this, but I left my job before I had another job, like just like taking a leap of faith. And it took me about 2 months to get another job and to get a remote job. But I've been working remotely for 4 years now. And I have zero aspirations to ever like have to go into an office job again. I wouldn't mind working for a corporation that has an office and it's optional to go in there sometimes, but I like the flexibility more than anything. I enjoy the flexibility and I feel very fortunate to be able to actually, I like my job right now as well. Right. So it's like doing what I do to make a sustainable living, but then also gives me time to write, to do podcast with Jason in the morning, to like, there's so much flexibility in my day and in my schedule. And I didn't have to compromise on anything. And I think that's beautiful. And you also have to be careful of naysayers because like the divisional vice president of the organization, when I told him I was leaving, he said, you're ruining your career. And because I was on the fast track, I was promoted 4 times in 8 years. I was a really good employee, could have been on a national level with the company. But that wasn't what I wanted. It's great. Thank you. But I don't want to, right? If somebody's like, oh, I'm going to give you a restaurant and you can be a chef for thousands. And you'd be like, thank you. But I don't, that's not what I want to do. It's kind of how it felt. Like, thank you so much, you know, for trusting me with this, but I don't want that. So he's like, yeah, your peers are going to pass you up and you're ruining your career. And at the time when I left, I thought that I would only be gone for a year and that I would potentially like come back. And I've never gone back. But it was amazing because the event that I told you about earlier, he was there. And so I was speaking as a poet. I was doing what I love. His company was paying me to do what I love, and I did not work for them. And it was so amazing, like, to go back and, like, do my poetry and say, like, look, like, your company's paying me to do what I love, and I do not work here. And what you told me was false.
Yeah. In your face.
Yeah.
Is what we're trying to say.
Right. Right. Graciously, yes. But it was, there's nothing like that, though. When somebody didn't believe in you, and then they have to watch you walking in your purpose. It is, and it's not for revenge or anything like that, but it's just fun. That's like a bonus. Like, oh, you told me no, and look at me flying. You know, so it was, it's been a ride. It's definitely been a ride. And I'm grateful for my time. I'm grateful for those 8 years, because I think that a lot of people say, oh, take that leap of faith. You have to make that jump. But I think you should make a calculated jump, right? Like, I was still smart about it. Like, I worked there for 8 years. I was very smart with my resources and savings. And those 8 years afforded me the opportunity to leave, which sounds interesting, but like, they built me up to leave them, right, at a certain space. And I think that, yeah, some people don't have the resources that they need when they start off, and those are different testimonies. But my testimony is, yes, I took a leap of faith, but I also calculated, how far down is it? Is the water deep enough to catch me when I land? Can I swim? What will that look like if I completely tank? Like, you have to weigh out all options. You have to weigh out that you could completely fail and what the absolute worst case scenario is. And if you're okay with the worst case scenario, jump.
Yes. That's a powerful exercise. And it certainly, I think, yeah, can empower people, because it's like you said, if the worst case scenario plays out, then you're just like, well, I already played this out in my head and I was fine with it. So whatever, and chances are, it's not going to play out. Like, the worst case scenario generally is not going to happen to most people, I would say, because you find a way. It's cool that you didn't let the naysayers stop you from doing what you wanted to do. And I think for people, if there's somebody listening that has like that type of person in their life, you have to remember that they're coming from different places too. I think sometimes people may be coming from jealousy, even just like, hey, I've been at this company for 30 years and I never chased my dream. So whether it's conscious or subconsciously, it might be like, well, hey, you shouldn't do that. You're going to ruin your career. And maybe that's just something internally going on. You know, that's just one example, of course, or they just truly believe you're going to ruin your career. And then you just have to say, well, I'm going to have faith that this is going to work out. Or, you know, like you said, just do something else and just roll with it. Like, make a decision and roll with it. I used to be hard. I was not terrible at making decisions, but kind of. Like, when it came to big decisions, I just couldn't pull the trigger. And then finally, I was just like, well, you know, it's all just an experience. You just make a decision and you roll with it, and you just have that experience, and you can't really look back, you know?
Right. And even you learn from it, right? I feel like in life, we either win or we learn. Like, we never lose. And that's just, if you tell yourself that story, like, once again, framing it, changing the narrative that you're speaking to yourself, being gentle with yourself, that failing is not a failure. It's like, oh, this didn't work this way, so let me try it this way, or let me try something different over here. Like, those are all perfectly fine. It's funny, it's like they have that line of like, this is how people think success looks. And the line is like going all over the place, really, right? Like, there's so many detours and stops and different things that you have to do to get to a life that you love. But if you're constantly focused on creating a life that you love, you will arrive at that place eventually. If you're gentle with yourself, if you don't stop, if you keep having like different visions that you want to chase after, and you're going after them unapologetically, like, you, if your goal is to create a life that you love, that will happen.
Yeah. That's all starting with the intention, mm-hmm. right? And what does it mean to create a life you love? Okay, well, what does a life I love look like? You have to figure that out too.
Right.
You know, you have to just like break it down and see what that really means to you, and just give yourself some honest answers, I suppose.
And sometimes it's doing something that, like, sometimes you don't know what you like until you do it. Right. I might love Norway. I've never like been to Norway. Maybe I would
come visit.
Right. Like, But you don't know. It's like, and that's the really cool thing to me about traveling as well, is like, I will honestly say, I mean, yes, when you think of London, you think of the red double-decker buses and the black taxis and Oliver Twist-esque like vibe, right? But I had no idea that there were so many Jamaicans there. And you can go get oxtail on any corner, and like, there's this amazing festival in the summer that, I mean, what I would say that I love about traveling is that no place, I mean, literally no place has ever been what I thought it would be, ever. Like, just very random things where you're like, oh, they love their delicacy in Chile is like a hot dog. And you're like, what? Like, what? What is that? They eat guinea pig in Ecuador, and that's like their delicacy. And I mean, I can go on for days, but I just think it's cool that you never can really, no place is ever what you expected it to be. Yes, there's elements that you knew would be there. Like, you know where there are glaciers, and you're looking at the Blue Lagoon in Iceland and this and that, but you don't, do you know that they eat rotten shark? Do you know that? Like, I just think there are so many layers to every single place, and to like go there and experience it, and it's nothing like you thought it would be, is the best. That's the absolute best experience to me.
Yeah, and you get to discover more of those when you're traveling a bit slower, like you mentioned, sure, where you're spending some quality time in places. Well, what were some of the places that really stood out to you? Places that you're like, hey, you know, I want to go spend more time there. Like, maybe you're like top three places you'd love to go back to that you've been.
Definitely Greece. And I'm almost scared to go back to Greece because I loved it so much. Like, I don't even want to taint the memory of it, but I'm definitely going to go back. But I just like loved it so much my first time there. Just like the people, the vibe, all the buildings are blue and white, so it just puts you in this very serene space. And the people were so friendly. The food, I love like feta cheese. So like sold, you know, Greek salad every day with a block of feta. Thank you. Yes, please. I love Thailand. You know, it's a land of 1,000 smiles. Once again, the food is phenomenal and it's cheap, right? So that's always nice, like to be able to go somewhere and like the dollar stretches a little bit further. We're, you know, privileged in that regard. And so like that, like Thailand is, it's really, the people are so beautiful and their initial disposition is to smile at you. And I just love how welcoming they were. Budapest was a surprise, right? There's not many Americans that you'll talk to and say, hey, if you could go anywhere in the world, where do you want to go? And they say Hungary, right? Nobody's saying that. Like, I won't say nobody, but not a lot of people are saying that. Everybody wants to go to Paris and Rome and Tokyo and all the places that are pushed to us or that we hear about the most. You want to go to London and Paris and Tokyo and Rome, right? But like Budapest is becoming more popular, but it's not really on that list just yet. And so during that year in 2017, I was like, you know, hey, we're just rolling. And as I mentioned to you before, no place was as it seemed. I had a great time in Montevideo. Like, who knew Uruguay was so fun? Who knew? Not me. And so I was just open to any place, right? We lived in Bulgaria, lived in Prague. And so then what that does is it shows you that there's beauty everywhere, right? And so Budapest was just amazing. Like, there's a lot of I'm not a huge drinker, but I do like to like hang out, and there's different ruin bars there. So what they do is take like alleys that have been deserted and they turn them into open air bars or like lounges, and they're all over the city, so you can literally be walking and think you're like going to look into a deserted alleyway, and it's like this amazing hangout space. And so vibrant and open air, trees in the middle of the location. You're like, what is happening in the city? The food is very good. It's very hearty. And they like a lot of stews and like red meat and things like that. But I don't know. And I performed in a lot of these. I did like international videos, one in Argentina, one in Budapest, and one in Vietnam. So like Ho Chi Minh is also important to me too. And it was just sensory overload. I haven't been to India. I've heard a lot of stories about India, and like you have to like work yourself up to prepare like to go to India just because it's so much to take in. My experience with that has been Ho Chi Minh so far. it is sensory overload. Like, you walk out your house and there's like, you're smelling, seeing, touching, feel, everything is happening at the same time. The city has 7 million scooters. You know, you're running in the morning and seeing like chickens being defeathered and God knows what is happening on all the streets at any given time. So those are some of the places that I enjoyed. I enjoyed because they were so different than anything that I've known or what I expected.
Here's a quick powerful exercise. If you think about one or two of your big goals and then you fast forward a few months from now, what can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If one of those goals for you is learning a new language or even just a little bit of a language to enhance your next trip, you should absolutely get Babbel. They have quick 10-minute lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts. You can actually start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations, exactly what you want as a traveler. I just downloaded it and went into the Norwegian course area thinking, oh, I've got this. Immediately made a bunch of grammar mistakes that they corrected. And I was like, oh, I've been doing this wrong. So I'm already leveling up and learning. And you can get Babbel now. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/zerototravel. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/zerototravel, spelled babbel.com/zerototravel. Rules and restrictions may apply. Thank you to Babbel for supporting today's show. Hey, Jason here. Did you know we have a free weekly newsletter over at zerototravel.com/newsletter? I put my heart and soul into this newsletter and love keeping in touch with listeners off the podcast. That's where you can find out about all of the latest and greatest events, trips we're planning, and of course, you're going to get money-saving travel tips, destination advice, all kinds of stuff to provide value and help you add more travel into your life. So why not sign up? Again, totally free, no cost at all. zerototravel.com/newsletter. Excited to welcome you into that community. Thanks for listening.
Do you have any advice you want to share for connecting with locals in these areas? I mean, imagine just from some of the stuff you're doing, you have to kind of figure out, okay, well, like, where are people doing spoken word poetry, and how do I actually get connected to the scene here? And like, I mean, everybody has their version of that scene that they might be interested in, or just connecting with locals, whether it's in the arts or just to connect. What's kind of worked for you? I mean, practical stuff, but also it can be more like mindset stuff too.
Yeah, definitely more so like social media. For sure. Like it's a powerful tool. If you're not using it like just to scroll through, it's a powerful tool when you're using it to like search and see what's going on in different areas. And honestly, a lot of things that I did was researching and just reaching out to people and saying, hey, I see you're in London. I see that you do poetry as well. I'm coming to town these dates. Do you have any recommendations? And there you're going to run into a no response or, oh, I don't know. You know, I did that a long time ago. You know, those things. But it's like get digging and digging and digging until you find the right person. And then oftentimes when you find the right person, they can connect you to a lot. Like if somebody got hold of me and said, hey, can you share anything with me about the poetry scene in the DMV area? I can read them a list of a million places.
They found the right person.
Exactly. So that's what I was doing though as well. Like, you know, and in London, I found one guy who had a long list of all of the poetry places to go. And he gave it to me. And then that's what I did, right? Just hop in. He gave me like the days and times and all that. Like, people are very generous. Even like my videos that I did there, I found videographers that were in those countries. And I met with them and we talked about my vision for my videos. And I did 3 international poetry videos by reaching out on Facebook and having those conversations like, hey, this is the vision I have. I see that you're a videographer. What are your fees? Let's talk about my concept and your concept and how we can potentially work together. And so a native Hungarian did my video in Budapest and native Argentinian did it in Caminito in Buenos Aires. And then there was a guy from France who was living in Vietnam. He was actually teaching the Vietnamese French. And he was a videographer. So his name's Christoph. He actually did my video in Vietnam. So,
and you found them all just through social media, kind of researching, connecting with people, and then asking them, hey, do you know somebody? And I mean, I'm sure it certainly helps. I'm sure that you have like a web presence and that people can see the work that you do, which is another advantage of kind of like putting yourself out there, right? You're like, all right, this isn't just somebody who's talking about it. This is somebody who actually does this. And that all starts somewhere for everybody. But what a cool way to kind of connect with different types of people on the ground, right? And then have something creative that you can do that's your passion while you're traveling. Because I imagine, I know being nomadic, you know, you become untethered from like, you can become untethered from a sense of community that you know in sort of the traditional sense, right? So then you have to kind of create community for yourself in some ways if that's something that you need. And I mean, after a certain point, I think everybody needs it, right? Because we're human. Right. Is this the way that you've kind of balanced nomad life with sort of community, is by practicing your art and getting involved locally in things like this?
Yeah, that for sure. And then also still staying close to those that I love, right? Like still making time for those FaceTime videos, those conversations, and still reaching back. And then, you know, I had 16 visitors in 2017. I had 16 visitors that came to different countries. So that was amazing as well. I was like, my sister was in Ecuador and Argentina. My mom came to Thailand. My cousin came to Prague. What I mean?
So you're like inspiring them to travel, right? Exactly. Just giving them an excuse, which is cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So building community where you are, but then also like maintaining the community that you have as well and saying, hey, come with me. You know, I gave my mom the full itinerary and I said, choose where you want to come. And that was her Christmas gift. And she chose Thailand, which I was surprised. It was a long flight for her from Colorado, but she enjoyed it. She loved it so much. So
nice.
Yeah.
What do you like about, I mean, I know you're not traveling now because we all know what's going on, but what do you like about nomad life and what do you dislike about it or find challenging?
What I love about it is I love the differences in the culture. And I, like I said, I love being surprised. Like I can expect Norway to be one way or, you know, or Cambodia to be one way. And it's not. It's not going to be any, as much as I like try to think of and you research and hear things, there's nothing like going there and being there, being immersed in something different. I like being outside of my comfort zone. So that's what I do love about being a digital nomad. What I don't like about it, not many things. I would say sometimes it's hard to say goodbye, right? Like, so you're there for a month. It's like it, the way I do it too. Like if you're there for a month and you started early, it's a decent amount of time to like have your favorite restaurant, have made some friends, like hanging out. And then it's like the moment that you get comfortable, it's time to go. So that's hard too. Like you have to constantly say goodbye to people. And it's great because you're meeting new people everywhere you go and making new friendships. And then you have friendships all over the world, which is fun. But, you know, I still talk to my friends in Budapest and Ecuador and, you know, all the places, like the different places I've been, I still keep up with a lot of individuals. I was performing in Bali and like, one of the gentlemen from the band, he reached out to me and like, they're building a new stage. And he's like, the next time you come to Bali, like this stage is waiting for you. And it's like, it's cool to have friends all over the world, but it's also difficult to like say goodbye, you know, again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of funny how, something you said, I always found this too, like if you spend, you know, a decent amount of time in a place for a nomad, right? Like it could be a few weeks or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, you check out a bunch of places and you find like a cafe you really like. And the tendency I think can be, it's like old habits die hard.
Yes.
To like kind of go back to the same place sometimes, even though, you know, there's this whole city to explore.
Yeah.
Because there is something every once in a while with having a bit of familiarity with something. Right. It's kind of like, all right, I know I don't live here, but like if I go back to that same cafe, like I kind of feel like I might belong in this community a little bit for at least like a short period of time, you know. Right.
And it's so important that you said that because I always tell people, I encourage people to, if you're going to be there for a short period of time, you have to move quick. Right. So like within 2 to 3 days of getting to a new location, I would always look at where's the closest grocery store, what's my nearest bus station, what metro am I closest to, where's the nearest gym, like when gyms were a thing or open. Like looking at all of those things and knowing that 2 to 3 days in, running the neighborhood to like understand where I am, feel comfortable, getting home a couple different ways instead of always going the same way. Like if you do that early on, it makes you feel a little bit more comfortable sooner.
I did promise I'd touch on making a living from your art. Any advice for people out there that are trying to do the same?
For sure. I mean, what I would say is just start, right? And it's so annoying. That's such annoying advice. Like there was a motivational speaker that gave me that. I waited an hour to speak to her and I don't normally do that. And I was like so encouraged by what she said. And I was like, I want to start like motivational speaking and doing this. And she's like, oh yeah, just get started. And I was like so mad. Like I waited for an hour for you to tell me to just start. But it is very true actually. Like just start, right? Like if you want to write, start writing. Even if it's just a little bit every day, even if it's absolute crap, what you're writing down, like initially, until you start to hone your skills or like go back and edit and make adjustments, it's important to just get started. And I think that sometimes we have this big grandiose vision in our minds. And so it keeps us from starting because we're like, gosh, I have such high aspirations for this. And I don't know where to start because it's so big, right? And it's take one bite. Like, okay, you want to eat this big, big burger? Well, the only way to eat it is to start. Like, cut a piece off, chew a little bit. Maybe you can't eat all today. Maybe you can't get it all this week or this month. But if you start chopping away at it one bite at a time, eventually it may rot or you might finish it, right? But honestly, it's like knowing, like, first, figure out what it is that you want to do. Like, where does your passion meet your purpose? And then what can you do a little bit every day to move the needle forward in that direction? If you're working right now in a job that you don't want, but you know what you want to do, and you just can't find the time, you can carve out 30 minutes of Instagram scrolling or Facebook responding or CNN viewing, whatever it is. You can find 30 minutes or an hour of every day to pour into yourself, right? You're pouring so much into everything else and everyone else's visions and everyone else's dreams. And, you know, they say if you don't have visions of your own, somebody will pay you to help accomplish theirs, right? So it's like, and I'm very adamant about like working out and making my smoothie and, you know, reaching out to podcasts, hosts, and like, having speaking events and reaching out to corporations and doing things that make me happy that are moving just the vessel forward and not just only working for my corporation. And by the end of the day, I'm so spent that I have zero time for pushing my dreams forward. Like it's very important to make time for yourself, whatever that looks like for you. And I think once you do that more, it's like I do my passion and then I get paid for it. It's not that I was looking for the money first. It's like I was looking to do my passion first. And then people said, oh, how much do you charge? That's where you want to get to that sweet spot where you're not looking for it to like sustain all of you. But you're like, I would do this for free or this is what I want to do no matter what. And then once the payments start coming in, that's great. That's bonus. But that's not where I'm. That's not the vantage point that I'm starting from.
Right. Yeah, I love that. That's great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. We should mention the t-shirt project you have. If you want to just tell everybody quickly about that and you can give them the website because this is another interesting thing you have going on.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so it's just it's a minimalism movement. It's really encouraging people to pack less and travel more. And that all came about because I've been living out of a suitcase and a backpack for 3 years, 4 years. And people are like, oh, I just couldn't do without this or that or this. And so it was like really to inspire like a minimalist movement, like pack less, travel more. Yes, I have on the same shirt, but I'm in a different country. And that's really what it is, the same shirt, different country. And so it's same shirt, dc.myshopify.com. And yeah, it's just really a minimalist movement. So we have like hoodies, tank tops and t-shirts and it says, yeah, I have on the same shirt, but I'm in a different country. So it's like, do you care about what I'm wearing or does it matter that I'm exploring and experiencing new things? Is kind of the premise behind it. So, yeah.
Yes. And you can really roll with that one shirt. I just remember being in Vietnam and since you were talking about Vietnam, you know, getting fresh clothes and then mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, I'm going to just put on this t-shirt. And then you walk outside and it's like 12 seconds later, you're soaked in sweat. I'm like, does it even matter that these clothes are clean?
Right.
You could probably just have the one t-shirt. It's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Just a Vessel is what you call yourself as a poet. I mean, I think the name kind of explains explains it, self-explanatory. I'm just wondering the feeling when you're creating, you feel that coming through you in a way that's spiritual. I don't know. Just describe it.
Yeah, for sure. So it's just a vessel, right? No more, no less. Like I used to say, I'm just a vessel he uses. So like I sometimes feel like if you write something and you read it and it hits you back, it's like, wow, like I wrote this, but I know that I didn't write this, if that makes sense. It's like, it's not, like you said, something bigger than you, bigger than yourself. So I definitely feel that. I definitely love to inspire. And I do feel that, like when I'm on stage and just the feedback, even that's affirming afterwards, like, oh my gosh, I needed that piece, or I just lost my daughter and that spoke to me for this reason. So one, it's great. Like positive affirmation is great afterwards. But even if nobody came up to me after an event, you know that I know when I'm speaking that it's touching somebody, right? And if it touches one person, I'm good. I'm good for the day. If I'm speaking to 1,001 person's mindset or heart was shifted or pricked in any way, I feel good. Feel like mission accomplished. So yeah, it's definitely bigger than myself, and that's how I want it to be for sure.
Yeah. I find it interesting when you're creating that balance. I mean, like for me, it's songwriting, but you know, like there's the practical aspect of wordsmithing, right? Mm-hmm. And but like, then there's this flow state that it's like you're there, but you're not there kind of. And it's just sort of coming out. It, when you get to that place where you're not judging it and it's just getting onto the page, whether it's good or bad is like to be decided later when you kind of do the more, use the practical mind to kind of like curate and then
right.
refine or something like that. But that magical sort of flow state is just like, I live for that. It's such a great mm-hmm. feeling. You know?
It is a good feeling. It takes a while sometimes to get into that space. But once you get there, it is a nice place to be for sure.
For sure. I've had an absolute blast chatting with you. I'm not going to put you on the spot like your mom used to with the singing, but I mean, maybe, I don't know if you have a little travel theme, something you can throw at us. If not, no worries. I know it's early for you. We could always send me some files and I can throw something here in the outro so you guys can have a listen.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely do that. I don't have a theme song though. Maybe I need to get that. Since Jason's asking.
I said a travel themed thing. I didn't expect that you have a theme song, but that would be funny. You could be like, hey, this is my theme song. some travel themed poetry, or maybe we'll just, you know, just send me some files and we can give you a little listen to Just a Vessel and some of the poetry. And of course, Just a Vessel is Stephanie James, who has been kind enough to give us her time today. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I've had a blast. I hope you do visit Norway. It'd be fun to do this again in person.
That would be awesome. Yeah, it's definitely on my list. Like everywhere is on my list. But yeah, this, if anyone interested in connecting, it's justavesselpoetry.com and justavessel22 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and all the socials, Just a Vessel 22. So thank you so much for having me, Jason. I really appreciate it. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. Cool. Me too. Have a blast. Please keep in touch.
Will do.
Take care.
Thanks, you too.
There you have it. My chat with Stephanie James, AKA Just a Vessel. She's awesome. I mean, how am I so lucky that I get to connect with these incredible people? And they actually reach out to me. She reached out to me. Oh, I remember how. Because of you, my friend. Because you listen to this show. You are part of this audience, this global caravan. I like to think of us, these beautiful travel souls out there, travel-loving souls. And when you listen to this, you're not listening alone. You're joining many thousands of people from around the world. I just wanted to remind you of that. It's easy to forget when you stick your earbuds in and you're kind of like, all right, well, here I am listening to this. Well, you're not alone, my friend. And I'm so grateful that you're part of this community. And this is a community-powered show, mind you. And it exists because of you and for you. So please, if you ever want to, get in touch and say hi. Drop a note, leave a review, whatever. I read all of these emails. You can hit me up, jason@zerototravel.com. I read all of the reviews that you are kind enough to leave. And I just want to thank you so much for being a part of this community. Feedback is welcome. And I've been asking, I could say begging, I've been asking people to just open your smartphone, open the audio app, record some audio and send it to me, and I might put you on the podcast. You could share some tips with the audience, whatever, some recommendations on some travel advice, just your story, whatever. Take a minute and do that if you got some time. And I will tell you, if you're not signed up for the More Than Travel email list over at zerototravel.com, I could call it the travel email, but it's actually about a little bit more than travel, I think, quite often is really what's kind of going on in my head, in the world. I try to share some helpful stuff there. And you can get that newsletter by going to zerototravel.com and just simply signing up for free. And then you're going to hear about all the awesome stuff we have going on off the podcast. Yes, I've got a challenge coming up. We're helping you plan your 2021. We've got some workshops early next year that we're running, another challenge to help people start their side hustle business so you can eventually leave your 9-to-5 and travel more. All kinds of stuff going on off the podcast. But if you don't take a minute and sign up for the email list, you're not going to hear about any of it. So be sure to do that if you keep putting it off and you haven't done it. Now, I've got a bunch of stuff to share. This leads me to a community shout out since I talked about the community so much, the listening community here. I'm going to share that in a second. First, I do want to say a quick thank you once again to Tortuga Backpacks for supporting today's show. These are the backpacks I've been using for many years. They have a really cool quiz on their website, actually, that helps you find the right backpack for you, for your exact situation, for the type of traveler you are. So go ahead and take that quiz. You can order anything at tortugabackpacks.com/zero. That'll take you to the page where you can start finding the stuff you want. When you check out, you get a discount. If you spend more than $200, you save 20%. $300, you save 25%. And $500 or more, you save 30%. They never do sales at Tortuga, but this is especially here with the pandemic and everything. So they are hooking you up. And that sale runs from November 17th through December 21st. So don't dilly-dally. Get a gift for yourself. I love that word, dilly-dally, by the way. Don't dilly-dally. Get a gift for yourself. Get a gift for a loved one because you're going to be able to get their stuff on sale, which never happens, like I said. And they've got incredible travel gear. So stuff that you can use at home or traveling. They also have a try it on at home program. So you have 30 days to try it out. You can put your own stuff in, pack it with your own gear, see how it feels, see if you like it. And then you can send it back at no risk within 30 days if you do not like it, but you're going to like it. So you really got nothing to lose. TortugaBackpacks.com/zero, Z-E-R-O, spelled out. TortugaBackpacks.com/zero. Check them out. Okay. Now, got to give a shout out. First of all, anytime somebody leaves me a review, I mean, come on, you took some time out of your day to say something nice about the podcast. You know, I'm shouting you out, my friend. This one is from Bednets. Bednets. 5 stars. Love this show. I've been greatly enjoying this podcast, catching up as a new listener on past episodes. We will travel again soon enough, and I'm grateful for the excitement and tips through these fun listens. Would love an episode on tips for students and study abroad. My college-age daughter plans to be in Italy in fall 2021, and yes, I will be visiting her. Thank you for your love of travel, adventure, and inspiring guests. Loved the Kathleen Sinclair episode. Stay safe. Love Bednets. Well, they didn't write love Bednets, but anyway, very nice review there. Thank you. And yes, I wanted to let you know, Bednets, whoever you are, the mystery Bednets, that I am in fact going to be publishing an episode coming up soon all about how to hack college, really at any age. If you know, even if you're going to like post-grad, how to get college cheaper and abroad in Europe. So I'm really excited to bring that episode to you. And I've got a slew of episodes coming up for you, some incredible stuff that's already recorded. I could tease out a bunch of interviews, but I will say that you should subscribe if you haven't yet, because, you know, we're 7 years into this podcast and I ain't slowing down. I ain't stopping. I'm keeping this thing going because you all give me energy and you keep me motivated to keep rocking the mic. So thank you very much for being a part of this listening community. I do want to give one more shout out, this time to Mike, who wrote me an email. He said, "What's up, Jason, longtime listener of the podcast. I'm currently going through a rough patch in life, both with my current relationship and job. Want to let you know your podcast gives me hope and motivation to keep trekking. I'm getting to the point where I just want to quit my job and head out into the world. He goes on to say, keep doing your thing, man. If you're ever in Buffalo, New York, shoot me an email. Buffalo has some great brews and it's an underrated food city. Great hikes in the area as well. Letchworth and Devil Holes. The summer and fall in Buffalo are elite. Thanks for checking in, Mike. You know, true story, I once spent a month in Buffalo for a job. I was driving around a Volkswagen Beetle promoting the New York lottery, and it was kind of a funny job. But anyway, it was a lovely town. I love Buffalo, New York. In fact, that's where my mother and my father met. So I have some connections to Buffalo, and I find upstate New York to be a little bit of a hidden gem in the USA. Super friendly people and a lot of cool stuff to do and see. So thanks for checking in and kind of taking me back to Buffalo a bit, you know, in my mind anyway. Speaking of going places in your mind, I did have this little PSA to share with you, this public service announcement, right? Dun, dun, dun. It's not that dramatic, but I do want to just say that to all you travelers out there who are feeling like a little disconnected with the world, maybe you're tired of being stuck at home, just remember, the world isn't going anywhere. It's still there to be explored. It's just waiting for you. It's waiting for you to explore it. And I don't want you to get down. You know, travel is about more than travel, isn't it? Yeah, it's about seeing the world and experiencing the new places and the cultures and the destinations. But it's also about discovering new things about ourselves, about our place on this planet, about our place in the universe. It's about patience and tolerance and acceptance and love. It's just about so much more than going someplace and seeing something. And a lot of these things we can do at home, right? If we open our minds up, maybe in a different way. Maybe we need to shake things up to open our minds up to that. But, you know, there are many other aspects of travel that are connected to travel, but maybe can also be tapped into when you're at home. So whatever that means to you, I just wanted to throw that out there as a little public service announcement, a friendly little reminder. And just keep in mind, the world is still out there. It's getting ready to be explored by you one day. You can't do it now. There's a pandemic. Maybe some of you are, but a lot of you do not want to be traveling right now. That's cool. We will travel again, my friends. Hashtag, we will travel again. So thank you for listening to my PSA there. And just wanted to give you a little boost before we let you go. And I got like two more things for you. I'm going to read a quote for you right now. I'm going to dig into the quote drawer, find something saucy. Don't know what I'll discover. And then I'm going to leave you with a little poetry from Just a Vessel. First, let me read this quote that I just randomly pulled out of my drawer. This is from Dogen Zenji. Enlightenment is intimacy with all things. Enlightenment is intimacy with all things. Woo, powerful stuff. Let's give you some more powerful stuff. I'll leave you with some spoken word poetry from Stephanie James, aka Just a Vessel. I'll see you next time. Peace and love.
I feel it. Oh, I feel it. I feel my dream shaking me. I can see it almost reaching. I know this is where I'm supposed to be. Do you believe that one day your name will make a change? That someone in some way will be better because you came? Do you know that when you leave, you're not fully gone? For when you live a life of purpose, your legacy lives on. Through the lives of the ones you've touched and the hearts of the ones you've reached, your life will be a legacy if you choose for it to be. You see, we
are the prodigies of our ancestors' strong working backs, who had to bend sometimes but refused to crack. We are the told you so to what they said we can never do or be. We are the light at the end of the tunnel that they said we'd never see. We are the hope that they prayed for, the inherited strength passed down. We are the seat they refused to give up. We found our thrones and wear our crowns. Royalty is our name and is from our ancestors' graves who fought for us and taught us that history can be changed, that we can write our stories even when the narrative had a different ending. We can get to the end of hope, tie a rope, and hold to new beginnings. It is us who creates the legacy that we leave behind, but we'd be remiss if we forget to remember those who ignited the flame that burns inside. You see, we are the actualization of dreams deferred, the thoughts beyond words, a reason our ancestors smiled and answered prayer, the child who survived. We are alive, and it is up to us to make sure that their dreams keep on living, to breathe into our passions and commit to generational healing. We are ceilings broken, limitless skies, a glimpse of heaven on earth. We are life. Legacy is what you leave behind, but you build it one single day at a time. We are divine, miracle workers, dream pushers, atmosphere shifters. We are purpose. The only thing standing between us and success at our best, we are enough. And if we never give up, we will be the twins to the ones who came before us. Gorgeous minds, intelligent hearts. In a world full of broken pieces, we are the best parts. We are love, freedom ringing from the soul. Although sometimes divided, we are always whole. We are joy in the morning, a song stuck on repeat. We are laughter and fun, just what they thought we would be. And yes, there's always opportunity to improve. But we have shown that there's strength in numbers when those numbers are willing to move. Do what you can and you will have always done enough. Give everything that you got and you will have never given too much. We say thank you to our ancestors for being your best, for doing what's right, never settling for what's left. We appreciate you for fighting before we came. And now we will continue to battle in honor of your name, and not to approach violence sedentary, but continue to stand firm for what's necessary. Not necessarily creating a front line, but also never afraid to stand firm for what's right. You see, he had a dream, and we are a dream come true. He had a dream for a better future, and we're experiencing what dreaming can do. He had a dream for his loved ones, and we are the ones that he loved. He had a dream for his children's children, and now their future depend on us. You see, do you believe that one day your name will make a change? That someone in some way will be better because you came? Do you know that when you leave, you're not fully gone? For when you live a life of purpose, your legacy lives on through the lives of the ones you've touched and the hearts of the ones you've reached. Your life will be a legacy if you choose for it to be. Thank you.